Good morning. It's good to be here. It's always good to be here at Highlands United Methodist Church. And it's good to see this many people here. This doesn't look like Low Sunday as it is in a lot of churches when the senior pastor usually takes that Sunday off. I used to do that. Brad is back in Nashville, I believe, with visiting with Godchild. Family's back there. At least he called me last night to make sure that everything's okay. And I said, well, I thought you were gone. He said, well, I am. I'm in Nashville. It's good to have the district superintendent, Steve Goodyear, and his wife, Bev, worshiping. Came to hear Brad, but he's going to have to hear this old dude. I serve Christ United Methodist Church in Salt Lake. And I don't know, 10 or 11 years after I was there, well, Steve became the senior pastor. Excuse me. Now, he came off leave, and they appointed him to Christ Church. Now, I took a leave way back. I was coming off leave, and the district superintendent said, well, you know, a person's on leave are the last ones to be appointed. I said, well, you forget that. I'm not taking what's left over. So I arranged something for myself for a couple of years or so before I went to Christ Church. They asked me if I wanted a lapel mic, and I said, no, I have to stick closer to my notes than I used to. And then Lil said I used to kind of go like this when I had that walking around, so I didn't want to embarrass her with that. It's good to be here. It's a great day. It's good to see all of you. I want to read the scripture. It's Luke 24, chapter 13 through 35th verses. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village. That's the day of the resurrection on Sunday. Called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, what things? They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they lost my place. They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. Because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Living God, we come as we are with the smell of life on us. We bring our doubts, our fears, and our uncertainties with us. Take us as we are. We thank you that we may be together to learn the word of life and hope. Fill the hands which are stretched out to you. In the name of the risen Christ, amen. I've never heard anyone speak of the disappointments of Easter. Have you heard people talk about the disappointments of Easter? Yet the Easter story is a litany of disappointments. Nothing in the story turned out the way that the people in the story had hoped it would turn out. Now, there's special disappointment for Cleopas and the other unnamed disciple as they are walking home to Emmaus on that dusty road. For those two disciples, it was 7 miles from an undesirable situation, which was the crucifixion of Jesus. This Emmaus story tells us how Jesus related to two disappointed followers. We've all taken the road to Emmaus, haven't we? It's the place we go to escape the realities of life, the pain of life, the challenges of life, and even the opportunities of life. Emmaus is no place in particular, that it can be anywhere. It can be everywhere. It's a struggle for most of us to take life as it comes when it's different from what we expected. I want to say that again. I want to make sure you get that. It's a struggle for most of us to take life as it comes when it's different from what we expected. I wonder how many of you are where you expected to be at this time in your life. I wonder how many, as you look back, found yourself at places you didn't expect to be. But as you reflect on some of those, that made it possible for you to be where you are today. Now, I can easily identify with these two defeated disciples. Their eyes are blurred with tears. They're stumbling toward their town, Emmaus. Their hopes have been pinned on Jesus to redeem Israel. He was going to bring all of these changes, but the result has been a cross outside the city limits, and it crushed their dreams. We wasted all this time and energy, and it's all for nothing. I think that's what they're thinking. I think mental termites are beginning to work on these two men. They're overcome by the mental termite of self-pity. The two disciples put a period at 3 o'clock on that Friday, but they will learn that God put a comma when they know the rest of the story. Don't put a period where God has put a comma. Have you ever put a period where God has put a comma? See, the period is where it stops. But if there's a comma, there's more to come. It hasn't stopped right there. I have put a period instead of a comma more times than I would like to admit. Now, these two disciples also had the mental termite of negativism. Negativism begins this downward spiral into discouragement and despair. With all that's happening in our world today, in our country, I mean, worldwide, it's easy to let negative thinking overwhelm us. I was so upset once with President Obama back one sometime, and I fired him off an email, and next day I had a doctor's appointment. It took my blood pressure 189 over 90. Now, my blood pressure is normally about 105 over 60 or 65. And the doctor said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm upset." She said, "Don't watch the news for 1 week." I remember when I took leave from the church, I had a business in Dallas, Fort Worth area, and I went to a sales course. And they said, "Whatever you do, don't read the paper in the morning before you go out to work." Now, I read it every morning. That's probably not too good for me. These two disciples had high expectations of what Jesus was to do. Now, the baseball season started, and the Rockies are doing really well. But these two disciples were thrown a nasty curveball. They've lost their why for living. That persistence that's right in the depth of their being, welling up to nourish and sustain life in the midst of harsh discords of life. They've lost that why. Now, April the 4th, 45 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. We lost one of our greatest leaders for peace and justice. With all the turmoil, he remained positive and kept his why for living. He said, "I refuse to accept a view that mankind is so tragically bound in the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love have the final words." It was the German philosopher Nietzsche who said, "He who has a why to live can bear almost any how." He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. Are you hearing that? Did you get that? Do I have an amen somewhere?
Amen.
Hey, amen? Good gracious. I go to Park Hill occasionally, where Eric Smith is a pastor. I was a pastor there some time back. And he gets some amens out of them at Park Hill. He's African American, and about 30-40% of the congregation now, I think, is African American. And sometimes he just keeps going until he gets, "I won't do that today." Now, as they walked along, they became aware that a stranger was intruding into their conversation. He said, "What are you talking about?" They stopped walking, and Cleopas said, "Duh, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on and what's happened?" Jesus said, "What things?" They tell the stranger about Jesus of Nazareth. Now, the disciples' question, "Are you the only one who doesn't know?" led Jesus to give meaning to what had happened, as he literally turned to the beginnings of the story. He told them the story that I read a moment ago, told it again. I think Jesus is disappointed because at no point in his telling did their faces light up with recognition. No point. They seemed to know all the details of Jesus' life, his teachings, and his death. But now hear this. But it's important for them and us to learn how to go from details to trusting in the depths of our being and to understanding what the resurrection means to them and to us today, where we live and move and have our being. Now, are you still with me? When they came near Emmaus, they asked him to come in because it was getting late. He accepted the invitation. As it sat at the table, Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it and gave thanks. It was then in the breaking of the bread that they recognized him. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road, explained the scriptures?" I don't know why they recognized him there and not on the road, but I do know that there in Emmaus, the table once again became a place of acceptance, of disclosure, of recognition, and of revelation. When they recognized Jesus, they rediscovered their why for living. caught up in the magic of his power, their hearts came alive again, and they were filled with enthusiasm. Nothing of real value is ever accomplished without enthusiasm and passion. What are you enthusiastic and passionate about today? What is this church enthusiastic and passionate about today? I think those are two important questions for us on this Sunday after Easter, on any day of our life. Charles Garfield shares a story, an experience he had one day when he was driving to have lunch in San Francisco, and he drove toward one of the booths. He heard music. He looked around. There were no cars with the windows down. He didn't see anyone playing loud music. No sound trucks. He looked at the toll booth. Inside it, a man was dancing. Well, I thought that was pretty good. Did I tell you how I ended my retirement at Park Hill? Well, they knew I did clogging, and I told the choir director that I wanted to end with this music about dancing. And so it started playing, and I hadn't intended to do what I did. I started doing my clog. First thing I knew, I took my coat off and I threw it up. And then I took my tie off and I threw it up. And I unbuttoned my shirt and Lil said, "Oh, I didn't throw anything else off." Well, here's this guy, and he's dancing. And the driver said, "What are you doing?" And he replied, "I'm having a party." And he looked at all the other booths and nothing going on in those booths. Well, somebody honked the horn, and so he had to move on. But he came back a few months later. Here he was, that loud music, and he's dancing. He wanted to know what the man in the booth was doing. He said, "I remember you from the last time. I'm still dancing. I'm having a party." The driver wanted to know about the other people in the booth. He wanted to know what they looked like to him. He said, "They looked like vertical coffins." He said, "I can prove it. At 8:30 every morning, live people get in. They then die for 8 hours. At 4:30, like Lazarus from the dead, they reemerge and go home. For 8 hours, brain is on hold, dead on the job, going through the motion." The guy had developed a philosophy about his job. The driver asked, why is it different for you? "You're having a good time." He said, "I'm going to be a dancer someday. My bosses are paying for my training." 16 people dead on the job, and the 17th in precisely the same situation, figures out a way to live. That man was having a party where we would probably last 3 days, be bored to death. He said, "I have a corner office, glass on all sides. I can see the Golden Gate. I can see San Francisco. I can see the Berkeley Hills." He said, "People in the West pay all this money to come and see what I can see every day. I just stroll in and practice dancing." Life is about waiting for the storm. It's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain to the music of the wind, to the drums of thunder, and to the light of the lightning. This morning, as we come to the table, may Jesus be made known to us in the breaking of the bread. May we discover or rediscover or strengthen our why for living, our reason for being, our sense of sacred purpose, and leave with passion and enthusiasm about the life we are called to live. And I'd say, hallelujah. Let's hear hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, that's better.